Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Our series, when we dwell on the sacred writings of Bhagwan, all these streams of wisdom that he painstakingly wrote month after month for Sanatan Sarathi. After Prema Vahini, we are now in Sandeha Nivarini, and today is the fourth episode of Vahini Satsang when we are discussing Sandeha Nivarini. It's really heartening to see how brothers and sisters from all over are participating in this discussion. Earlier we had Brother Venkat Reddy from Australia sharing his thoughts. We also had Sister Suchismita from Virginia, USA, giving her powerful moments of reflection. In the previous episode of Sandeha Nivarini, Vahini Satsang, the segment that we had taken up had Bhagwan telling us that good company is very important. At the same time, it is because good company is absolutely necessary that we need a guru. And then Swami says, while a guru is necessary, in these times, finding a genuine guru is really difficult. Swami says, guru who do more harm than help have multiplied, while the genuine gurus have retreated to solitude to pursue their own spiritual goals. And that is when Bhagwan comes to our rescue and says, you should have the Vedas, the Shastras, the Puranas and the Itihasas, all the sacred scriptures, all the messages of the masters as your guru. And Swami says, if you meditate on these scriptures as your guru, if you meditate on the divine as your guru and treat these scriptures as the directions from the divine, from the guru, then the divine himself will guide you. The divine himself will manifest and be your lighthouse. In fact, we discussed at length this particular segment in the previous episode of Vahini Satsang. I shared with you the story of Manikya Vasagar. If you look at the lives of so many saints, you would find this. They were looking for the divine to guide them. They were looking for the divine to hold their hand, and at the opportune moment, the divine descends into their lives. In a way, if we reflect, all our lives are also in some way little essays of this phenomenon. All of us who have known Swami, all of us who have looked upon Bhagwan, who have pined for his direction, who have waited for his instruction, in some way or the other, he has become our guru. He is our mother, father, everything. But at the same time, he has become the one who guided us, continues to guide us. And it happens in various ways. It happens in ways we never expected. It happens in ways that really fill us with joy. It fills us with beautiful moments of exhilaration and revelation. And this is something when we share with others, it really fills us with added determination, added inspiration to walk on this path, to hold on to him, to look only upon him, and wait for his message and walk on the path shown by the master. I'm very happy to share with you now an insight shared by Sister Prashanti from Indiana, USA. She has recorded and sent her experience of having Bhagwan as the guru, having Bhagwan as the one who continuously been scripting her attitudes, scripting her path on the spiritual journey, who continuously has been giving her such beautiful ways to deal with life. It's like there is a Bhagavad Gita happening inside each one of us, in our hearts. Once you have Krishna as the charioteer, we all become Arjunas, and Krishna is all the time giving the Bhagavad Gita. We have to only tune ourselves. So let's listen to the Bhagavad Gita that Sister Prashanti received from Swami.
So what I like about Swami's avatar is, even though we do not have physical form in front, Swami always taught us our conscience is our God. So somehow I got more connected to that. I kind of love having conversations with Swami. Other day brother has spoken about bhakti and prapti. These two are very important. Only when we have prapti, we think of, you know, reading certain things, or we should be really blessed to even to go in a spiritual path, or, you know, participate in satsangs or read good literature. But bhakti, according to me, is love for God. I always felt bhakti is, if you can make God personal to you, you can develop a personal connection. I found answers more, like being born in a ritual family. I also connected to God by chanting prayers. I was told, if you read this, you'll have good results in these exams. So I kind of, during my engineering days and all, I did them a lot, like with a fear, if I don't do this, I won't pass the exam. Those things were nice. I did get many benefits many times. Of course, these chants and mantras are very powerful. But past 2011, I learned more and more connecting to the inner Swami. I've heard that Swami has answered conscience, like through conscience, like Antarvani, Swami answers questions. So I want to take up an example. I connect to Swami as my father. So when I talk to him, I literally talk to him as myself, as his daughter, and my son as his grandson, or my husband as his son-in-law. So be it any day-to-day situations when I'm not able to deal, I strongly believe that we do not know what is good for us. So sometimes when I ask, this is what desires definitely pop up in our mind. So if you talk to God and make conversations, oh God, this is a desire that I am getting, and just help me, you know, I'm not able to control this urge that we have, that this desire should be fulfilled. If you think that this should happen, make it happen. If you do not think it's good for me, make it go away. So that kind of conversations, whenever I had, if I'm finding it very difficult to talk to a person, so I'll say, Swami, this is getting hard for me. You are kind of in that other person also. So can you please help me communicate this thing? If that kind of communication, if we make with God and then do actions, I have always seen success. Usually if we at human level do things, there can be instances where we can hurt ourselves and people. But if you bring God into the picture and seek His help, make Him the charioteer, with God in the picture, He is the only one who can make everyone happy all the time. So coming to these questions, recently I have been suffering from small ailment. So it's not a big health issue, but brother other day in Sandeha Nivarani said we should love all but trust only God. That's really true. When we seek advice from near and dear, say if we share our symptoms, they get so concerned for us. They might scare us saying you should get this test done, that test done. Out of concern for us, go to a doctor, get this test done kind of thing. So this time what I did was, Swami, I'm facing these kind of symptoms, and I need to travel alone, and day-to-day life I'm kind of living in fear to go through these symptoms. I simply posed a question one day. I wrote to Swami, these are my symptoms, Swami. I don't know what problem is this. So why do you think I'm getting this, and I need your help. I want to be cheerful and happy always, and these things are bothering me, Swami. Can you help me? And I just asked that question and I forgot. I have this habit of writing to Swami. So I daily write my questions to Swami. Swami, what is the problem I have? What do you think is the solution for that? That kind of conversations. So that honest attempt has to be made, and I have found answers through people, or I read something, or I hear something in Radio Sai, or watch some YouTube video of Samarpan, but the answers come. So this time I just prayed, Swami, and I just closed my eyes. Then Swami answered. Usually he answers in kind of acronyms to me, which slowly revealed by themselves. He just said fear, and then slowly the answer came. He said, it's very simple. You have this fear, and the solution for that is O fear. So he has told me, what is this O fear, Swami? It's all in the mind and heart level. I was making internal conversation. He said, it's very simple. O is obsessive thinking. F is fear. E is excitement. And A is anger. And R is restlessness. These are the things which you have that are causing these symptoms in you, kind of anxiety symptoms. So first, what you have to do to overcome overthinking, you have to do Om, he said. Om, which is the Soham breathing. O means Om. Then he said, F as in fear, right? Fear can be overcome with faith. So you need to have faith to overcome the fear that, you know, I'm there with you, God is with me, he will take care. That kind of faith in God that he's there to take care of the problem and make it go away. This reminds me, there was another time when he told me faith expansion, when I was struggling about faith, or I was contemplating on faith. He said, faith as in F-A-I-T-H, which means F, Father, A, always, I, in, T, time, help. So, Father is always in time to help is something which should flash right away when that fear comes. So, which kind of drives away the darkness of fear. Then E is excitement. Child, you get excited for everything, like be it happiness or sadness or anything, that kind of excitement is causing that kind of anxiety. You should be equanimous, like, you know, whenever you're getting that excitement, try to calm down and try to be equanimous and go away. Don't get very excited. Caution. Whenever that E is coming, counter it with equanimity. Counter obsessive thinking, because focusing on breath is the only way, right, where we can control our thoughts. So you can control obsessive thinking or overthinking with Om. Then he said fear, you can conquer it with faith. That's the immediate thought is bring in the element of God. Then comes E, excitement, and you can overcome that with equanimity. Then is anger. These days you are getting angry towards people. So bring in an element of affection. Affection can counter anger. Then he said R, why are you so restless? Like, you don't have to do all things at a time. When you are doing kind of one activity, you are thinking of other activity, all these kind of things. So this restlessness can be countered with restfulness. Just calm down. Just focus on one activity, and then all these put together, any of this which comes to you that moment, that's when your symptoms are coming. Whenever your symptoms are coming, analyze the cause behind that. It's like, I don't know, I feel like he's telling me very lovingly. This kind of conversations happens in me when I close my eyes and ask a question and close my eyes. This is what happened. He told me, out of these six, like O, F, E, A, R, just observe the symptoms you are getting. It will be one of these. Definitely, sometimes our friends say, right, if this does not happen, I bet you I'll change my name. That kind of thing. So Swami was like, I challenge you that from starting today, observe whenever you are getting the symptoms you are getting. It has to be one of the reasons, he said. So he said, O, F, E, A, R. And since then, I'm slowly trying to, you know, bring in these elements. Whenever I feel I'm thinking a lot, I try to calm down and breathe. Whenever I get fear, no, I shouldn't be scared. Swami is there. He's taking care. Whenever I'm getting excited, I kind of calm down, that kind of serenity, whatever helps me to calm down, I do. Then when I'm getting angry towards a person, I try to remember something. At least there is one good thing that person might have, or some good conversation or action that person has done towards me. And then whenever I'm restless, I kind of calm down and not do anything, or just do one thing at a time, these kind of things. That said, Swami doesn't leave it here. Okay, Swami, then I felt very good, great, this is great. And I really started observing what is happening in my life and whenever I'm getting these symptoms. Then comes O, and I was like, okay, Swami, you have said thinking can be controlled by breathing. So when you really sit and think of doing Soham, it's easy, like you can just breathe in, breathe out. And then during meditation, I can do Soham. But when I'm in a situation where I'm not able to calm down and do Soham, so I was kind of contemplating. So then I just said, Swami, teach me, how can I do this Soham? And what do you mean by breathing? What do you mean by O? So I just left it there, and answer comes. You should have faith. When you ask a person a question, That itself means, when do we ask a question? Like we ask a question, we don't ask questions to, you know, children, right? Even in school, we tend to ask questions to a teacher because we believe that the teacher has more knowledge than us. Or we ask questions to peers who are like studying better than us, right? So like that, you have to have faith. So Sandeha Nivarani. When you get Sandeha, you should always go to a person who you think knows better than you, right? And who else is better than, you know, God. So you're asking God with the faith that He has an answer. So then I boarded a plane and I was kind of listening to bhajans and I was trying to focus on my breath and I was trying to focus on soham and all that. And suddenly I was just contemplating on the word soham. And then suddenly Swami said, soham is, first the S didn't come. He said, O soham, S-O-H-A-M. He just said heart and mind. And then he didn't say anything. And then, what are you saying, Swami? What is this breath to do with heart and mind? Then slowly Swami said, in the silence of heart and mind is Om. So hum. Silence of H. Silence as in S. O as in Om. H as in heart. A as in end. And M as in mind. So when your heart and mind are silent, there is always a constant battle that happens between heart and mind. Mind tells some things, heart tells some things. Sometimes mind wants you to do certain things, but you are not supposed to do because it's not good for you and others. So heart tells something, but mind really wants you to do something, because if you do that, you'll immediately feel temporary peace or some tranquility. So when there is silence in heart and mind, when you kind of calm them both down, then what you hear is Om, that is O-M, and that's the breath. So it really felt so good. So we should always kind of bring in that personal element with Swami. Whenever I asked questions to Swami with that personal connect, rather than kind of, you know, chanting prayers or chanting mantras, He always responds. He is always waiting for us to talk to Him. Whenever we make these conversations with Swami and really believe He'll help us and give us an answer, that answer will come instantly. It depends on the earnestness with which you ask and the intensity with which you ask. The answer will definitely come. Whether asking is important, once you ask Swami something, He's there. The purpose of this avatar is to lead us from darkness to light. So whatever questions we have, He's the right person to be asked. And if you bring in that element, this itself is bhakti according to me, where you kind of personally connect to Swami and make Him part of your life. Make Him feel inside you and make this conversation. He is definitely out there to help us. Thank you. Sai Ram.
So that was Sister Prashanti from Indiana. So beautiful insights, isn't it? How Bhagavan guides us from within. Once you approach Him with that earnestness, and Swami says, have that faith as Sister has experienced, once you have that faith and connect to Him with that intensity, answers come. You're walking on the path, the Master is guiding you. As Swami says, you don't need an external master. Why do you ever have to go to an external master? So hum, silence of heart and mind, isn't that beautiful? All the time Swami says, you know, we have fear, all our worries are because of some fear or the other. So beautifully Swami said, it is fear. We have to overcome the overthinking with our soham breathing. We have to overcome our fear with faith, overcome our excitement with equanimity, overcome our anger with affection, overcome our restlessness with restfulness. That is the way to realization, isn't it? It's really beautiful. As I was mentioning, there is a Bhagavad Gita happening in all our hearts, and all we have to do is to quieten ourselves, do that soham within ourselves, and once the heart and mind become silent, the message of the Master becomes evident.
सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो साए ध्यान करो
So that is how the Sadguru guides. Soham Atma. Once we walk on the path, we will realize how Soham itself is Atma. The breath itself is Atma. And we will be filled with Brahmananda, bliss. Well, we will, in today's journey of Vahini Satsang, get a glimpse of this, because we are going to listen to what Bhagwan has mentioned in the next segment of Sandhya Nivarini. Before that, let me share with you another very beautiful insight which was shared by Sister Suchismata from Virginia when she contemplated on what we had discussed last time about Bhagwan being our Guru. She says that mind is the lamp. The mind has to spread its light through its warm, soft glow of radiance. When mind is brought in the altar of God, it receives true friend for life. God is man's eternal companion. He is that indweller whose presence is felt only in the depth of silence, in the depth of soham. And she goes on to say, when we get a little more closer to the rose, we can smell the fragrance of the rose, of its innate nature, as well as the beauty of the rose. When you go a little more closer to the flower, then you can touch the flower. You can feel the softness of the flower's petals. She says, it is the same in our journey to God. The inner guidance flows smoothly like a soft breeze through an endless, constant inspirational strength and support as we slowly inch closer and closer to the Lord. you feel the Lord more. You feel the power and the presence even greater than ever before. And slowly your mind is ruled by God. It becomes God mind, God's mind. Your heart is offered in surrender to the Supreme. It becomes His heart. And then the heart and mind work hand in hand by having the Divine as their inner Guru. And once you have the Divine as the inner Guru, you need no outer support. The inner self is that flower whose beauty, fragrance and softness can be experienced within through the experiential oneness of truth, sister writes. And she goes on to share a simple prayer that came to her during her meditation. And this prayer, she says, is magical. This prayer ensures that our heart and mind is always at His feet. In a moment of inner communion, she got this prayer. Swami always says that the mind is the manopushpam. The mind, what we have to offer to the Lord is the flower of our mind. What we have to offer to the Lord is the flower of our heart, hridaya pushpam. So she used to visualize her mind and heart as these lotus flowers being offered to the Lord. These two lotus received in the inner plane at the beginning of the day has to be offered back to the Lord as pristine and pure each time at the time of retiring, end of the day. You receive these flowers, you receive the mind and heart from the Lord in the morning, and when you go back into the womb of time in the night, return these flowers back to the Lord. The simple prayer that has worked fantastically for her is, Lord, I am nothing. I can do nothing. I have nothing. I know nothing. Yet, with your grace and love, Swami, I will be able to experience you as myself in everything and everyone. This is the prayer, she says, has worked wonderfully for her. If we can all the time feel that I am nothing, I can do nothing, I have nothing, I know nothing, if I am able to do anything, it is only because you are there as myself. Bhagavan says there are two eyes in everyone. The eye that is associated with the mind, and there is the eye that is associated with the Atma. Consciousness of the Atma, that is the real eye. And when the eye is wrongly associated with the mind, then it becomes Ahamkara. Otherwise it is Aham. Aham is what Swami says. That is the definition of the Divine. Who is Divine? Aham says, I am I. Aham. When the eye gets associated with the mind, then it becomes Ahamkara. When the eye is associated with the Atma, it experiences Atmic bliss. It realizes that universal consciousness is one, though it may be called in different names. So Swami says, when you eliminate the Anatma Bhava in you, that is the feeling of body consciousness, then you will have Atma Bhava, then you will have the feeling of consciousness of the universal within you. This is the journey for all of us. Swami says the water vapor produced by the sun becomes a cloud and hides the sun itself. Similarly, the mind and the thoughts that come in the mind, which is a product actually of the Atma, cover the Atma. But we have to eliminate this cloud that is the mind. Then the shine of the Atma will be resplendent. In fact, Swami gives a very beautiful little story of an old woman in Uttar Pradesh who used to give things away in charity. So she used to always go about with her head bowed down. Some people asked her, why was she so humbling herself in this manner. She should actually hold her head high because of the numerous gifts that she was making to everyone. She is the one, she should be walking chest up because she has been giving things to so many people. So many people have been benefiting from her. And this lady said, when the Lord is giving me so many things with his 1,000 hands, all that I am giving is only with a single hand. What reason is there for me to feel proud about what I am doing? Should not people feel ashamed about giving to others with one hand what the Lord has given to them with 1,000 hands? If we have this feeling, then we will always say, I am nothing, I can do nothing, I have nothing, I know nothing. Lord, you are everything. You, please lead the way, you guide, you show me everything. Bhagwan used to mention about this little prayer, which he himself used to recite in the early days during the construction of the Prashantaliya Mandir. And the four lines go like this. Bear all, do nothing. Hear all, say nothing. Give all, take nothing. Serve all, be nothing. In fact, Swami says, this is the way of life for a Sai devotee, where the Sai devotee feels that he plans, he executes, he sows, he reaps, he rewards, he enjoys, he is pleased. It happened because he willed. If constantly we are in this state of mind, that is the way of life for a Sai devotee. Once you are in this state of mind, definitely you will hear the message of the divine from within. You will hear the voice of God from within. You will find you don't need any guru outside. God himself will manifest for you in the manner that is most appropriate and hold your hand and guide your path. So that is what we discussed in the second segment 1.2 of Sandhya Nivarani. So let's move on today. I'll now play for you the next segment from the first chapter of Sandhya Nivarani, the third segment from this first chapter. Let's listen to what Bhagwan has written and then we'll pray to him for his guidance.
But nowadays, there are some great people who offer advice to those who approach them. Are they not Sadgurus, Swami?
I will not say whether they are or not. I can state only this. Just because someone comes and addresses you as a guru, to feel flattered by it and start advising the person without proper due diligence and without looking into the worthiness of the pupil, and examining his deservedness is not the sign of a Sadguru.
Then Swami, I have committed a blunder. When a great person arrived at our village and all were receiving instructions from him, I too went, prostrated before him and sought a message. He granted me a good Upadesha. I repeated the mantra for some time, but later on I came to know that he was a cheat. Since that day, I lost faith in the name he gave me and I gave up chanting the mantra. Was this right or wrong?
You are asking whether this is right or wrong? It is definitely wrong. As I mentioned before, just as the guru has to examine the worthiness of the pupil, the disciple should also critically evaluate the credentials of the guru before receiving the Upadesha. Your first mistake was that you did not think through all this and hastily sought instruction from him. Well, even if the guru gave it without the necessary qualification, why did you break your vow and stop repeating the name? your second mistake is casting the fault of another on the sacred name of God and leaving the practice of chanting the name. You should have taken time, inquired about his genuineness, and understood the truth of his personality before developing faith in him. And even after that only, if your mind felt interested enough, you should have received the Upadesha from him. But once you have received the Upadesha, come what may, without any lapse, you should have continued to meditate on it. Then the sins and errors of receiving the Upadesha will not touch you. On the other hand, if you accept as well as reject the instruction in haste and are carrying the burden of this wrongdoing, how can I consider you as a good man? In case you were not interested or had any other doubts, you should not have gone for the instruction. But once you accepted, you should not have given it up.
What happens when it is given up?
Well, my boy, what happens when you are disloyal to your guru and abandon the name of the Lord? It is like when the supporting trunks of a banyan tree are infected. How can they support the huge branches? How can the tender sprout of your concentration blossom?
But what happens if the guru grants the mantra even if we lack merit?
Such a guru is not a guru. The result of his wrong act will not come on you. The evil of that wrong will devolve on him only.
So that is the third segment of Sandeha Nivarini. And here Swami is saying how one should be so careful. If you're choosing a person as a guru, you should do your own inquiries. And at the same time, Swami is telling how in these days, gurus are after possessions, gurus are after the fleeting name and fame, and that is why they don't evaluate the disciple before they give the mantra. And then Bhagwan says, okay, whatever it is, once you have accepted the guru, once you have got the mantra, why did you leave the mantra? There is absolutely no reason why you should abandon the name of the Lord. Once that is not there, Swami says, it's like a banyan tree infected, supporting trunk of a banyan tree infected. How will the branches continue to stand? In fact, it reminds me of a beautiful Guru Purnima discourse Swami delivered in 1990. Swami said, Purnima refers to the full moon with all his 16 aspects being illumined by the sun. And Swami says, in man there are 16 black spots. 6 are those 6 enemies: lust, anger, greed, infatuation, pride and envy. And then you have the 2 gunas, rajas and tamas. And then there are 8 types of mada. So 6 enemies plus 2 rajas and tamas, 8, plus 8 types of conceit, which are based on lineage, scholarship, wealth, youth, beauty, position and penance. So this is all of these are the 16 black spots, and only when man gets rid of the 16 evil traits that he will be able to realize his oneness with the divine, attain that purnatva. And Swami says, who is the one who enables man to achieve this state of purnatva? Who can enable man to reach that state? It is the guru, Swami says. But who is the guru? Guru refers to the one who is gunatita and rupa varjita, who transcends the gunas and who has no specific form. And the only person who can fit this description is the divine. Swami says the gurus of today are filled with all kinds of qualities. In fact, the disciples seem to be better than the preceptors today. The disciples are making sacrifices, but the preceptors are only acquiring positions. It is very difficult to say who is a guru and who is a disciple today, Swami says. People today also are so naive in their actions. When they see some good persons or some aged persons, they think they must get some mantra from that person. Swami says, what is the mantra do you really need? The only mantra you need is understanding your true nature. And this is within you, Swami says. In each one of us, there is mantra, tantra and yantra. What is the mantra? Swami says your process of breathing contains the mantra. Soham, soham, as we discussed today. Soham, Swami used to mention in this manner during his discourses. So your very process of breathing is soham. What does soham signify? It signifies that I am that, I am that, I am that. That is the mantra. That is the only thing that we ever need from a guru. And then what is the yantra? Swami says, yantra, which means an instrument. The yantra is your own body, physical body, Swami says. And what is the tantra? Tantra is your heart. Swami says, when you have all this mantra, yantra and tantra, when you have the message, when you have the method of practicing as well as the instrument for implementing it, everything is there within you. Why do you have to go and look for a guru? That is only a sign of weakness and ignorance. Because only that guru can dispel the darkness of ignorance and light the lamp of prajnanam, supreme wisdom. To go after nondescript preceptors and seek messages from them is a mark of ignorance. Because they themselves are wallowing in bondage. How can they help you to free yourself from bondage? How can one who is filled with delusions himself rid you of your own delusion? How can one who is begging for food relieve you of hunger? That's why Swami says, don't go in search of gurus, strengthen your faith in the Atma. Seek to enjoy the atmic bliss. Strive to develop the conviction, I am the Atma. This is the true message. And once we have grasped this truth, Swami says, everything else will become unnecessary. Swami says, it is enough if you develop the conviction that you and the Divine are one. Soham. Aham Brahmasmi. Cultivate steadfast faith in this Divine oneness through love. And that love will lead you to self-realization. Wherever you are, whatever you do, regard yourself as instruments of the Divine and act on that basis. Treat every moment of your life as being intended for dedication to the Lord. Swami says, this is the way to experience the Divine at all time and at all places. And this is Sakshatkara, true Sakshatkara, communion with the Divine. Make your life a complete offering to the Divine, who is the real source of all that you are and all that you have. So this is what Bhagwan has mentioned in a very beautiful discourse on Guru Purnima 1990, and I feel in so unclear manner, so pristine, pure manner, with no doubts, Swami has told what is our mantra that we need from a guru and the futility of going after a physical guru. And here, the other very significant thing that Swami is mentioning is this steadfastness. Once you have got an upadesha, once you have got a message from a guru, even if the guru was not genuine, you should be steadfast in that. Once you are accepted someone, once you have accepted a message, you cannot be callous about it. You have to be absolutely sincere in following that message, because that is when the power of the master, the power of the divine will manifest. That will happen only when you are sincere with the message. In fact, this reminds me of something that happened in the year of Bhagwan's departure, from the physical realm. It was the month of February 2011. The 12th standard students were preparing for a gratitude program to be put up in Bhagwan's physical presence in the Cyclone Hall. And during that time, one of the very senior elders had asked the principal of the school to include a drama as part of the program instead of the usual song and dance program. So one of the teachers who was in charge of the 12th standard students in the hostel, he prayed to Swami to guide as to what kind of a drama can these outgoing students of the school put up in front of him. And in a moment of inspiration, he got this divine indication that one particular Chinna Katha that Swami had narrated many times in the Trayi Vrindavan could be a very beautiful story for a drama to be staged in front of Bhagwan, because it was a story of perseverance, it was a story of determination, and it was very appropriate for outgoing students. And it had a very beautiful plot also. It had all the elements of suspense and thrill. So this teacher began to write the story and he started discussing the outline of the script with the students. Now, during those days, it was so difficult to get Bhagwan's attention. We are talking about the last few months of Bhagwan's earthly career. And Swami would many times not come for darshan. Sometimes he would not sit in the Cyclone Hall. There were days when programs would be planned and he would just not come for seeing the program. Aarti would be just be given to the chair, and some days everything would be scheduled but he would not see the program. So those were very, very uncertain, unpredictable days with Bhagwan. And this teacher was wondering whether in this circumstance can we really do a program, because it was also examination time for the students. But somehow Bhagwan from within was urging him stronger than ever before to prepare for the drama. So they got ready with the skit and the boys were ready with the dialogues and prepared to present it to Bhagwan. But they never got an opportunity. The month of February passed and now the board exam started. Swami was gracious to bless the special pens and vibhuti packets prior to the examination. Of course, that also happened in a very unexpected way on a Sunday morning. Swami had gone to the Hillview Stadium and Swami returned. And that was perhaps the last time that Bhagwan went up to the Hanuman statue and from there looked at entire Prashanta Nilayam, entire Puttaparthi. His compassionate gaze fell upon the entire terrain of this holy town. That was perhaps the last time Swami looked at Prashanta Nilayam from the height of Hanuman. So some students of the 12th class had their last board exam on the 11th of April. And they had a long gap of 21 days before that. So now they thought, why not try and present this program to Swami during that break between the examinations. So after 20th of March, the students again started with the card in the darshan lines waiting for Bhagwan's permission to stage that drama. Now before we go on to that, let me share with you what was the plot of the drama. So what happens is there is a young lad who goes to a master and pleads for a mantra to get moksha or liberation. And the Guruji accepts the sincere request and he asks the boy to come to his hermitage for getting the mantra. So with full faith and trust, the boy goes to the hermitage. The great master does not, however, grant the boy any mantra. Instead, he asks the student to perform household chores like watering the plants, cleaning, and days pass. They become weeks. Weeks turn into months, and months are transformed into years, and still the great master does not give the mantra, and the student is only sincerely serving the master. In fact, when Bhagwan was narrating the Chinna Katha, Swami said, but this boy never lost heart in spite of all this. He was so steadfast He had full trust in his master. And he persevered with patience and determination to please his Guruji and reach his goal. So 12 long years rolled by, him dedicatedly serving the master. And finally, one day, the master summons the boy and expresses great happiness over the boy's steadfastness. The master takes the boy to the river bank and tells him, "The time has come. Now I am going to grant you the most coveted mantra that you always wished to attain from me. Before I do this auspicious thing, you go to the river, have a holy bath, and come back." So the boy is gone into the waters, and when the boy is in the river, suddenly the master says to himself, "Oh, the time has come for me to go. I have to leave my physical frame in this auspicious moment. It is a moment that cannot be postponed. The boy has not yet come, but I have to go." So keeping up his promise to the young boy, what the master does is, he writes the mantra on the sands and then leaves his body. Now there was a lady dancer who was going that way and who noticed all this strange way the master was about to give the mantra. The boy disappeared and the master wrote something on the sands. And once the master left the physical frame, this lady dancer who was watching all this, she saw the mantra and she wrote the mantra on a leaf and she erased the writing from the sands and she put this folded leaf on her ear by making it a earring. Now the boy returned after a few minutes full of excitement to receive the mantra, but only to find that the master is no more. He's so despondent. 12 years of penance has gone in vain. The master is no more there, and there is no sign of any mantra. He cries there, he laments, and he is cursing his cruel twist of destiny that he had to face. How could the master go? But Swami tells, yet the boy does not get frustrated, because he fully believed that the master's promise will come true. That is the faith. He believed that his will must prevail. So he was not just looking down and crying. He looked up. He thought the master would have done something. The master will not go without giving him the boon that he promised. So he sees this lady dancer nearby and he inquires, "Did you see the master? Did he give any message to you to be given to me? I became late." And the lady dancer then tells him everything that happened and says, "Young man, why don't you accompany me? If you come and serve me, I will give you that coveted mantra." So the boy had no choice. He starts accompanying the dancer and he begins to serve her. So as she dances, he plays the kanjira for her dance performances. He serves her. In spite of all the ill treatment that she receives from her, the boy perseveres with patience and determination, because there is no other way he could get the mantra. The mantra was with the lady. And everything is his master's all-powerful will. If the master wanted, he could have done it in any other way. But the master has willed it in this way, which means there is some meaning to it. And he thought he has to go through this. So 12 years after serving the master, he began serving the dancer. Months passed and the months became years. 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, still he had not received the message from the lady And in this manner, 6 became 8, 10 and 12 years. 12 years with the master, and now 12 years the boy served this lady. It was almost like 12 years he served the master, and now he was serving the world as it were. But the goal inside was just the same. Nothing else mattered to him except pleasing the lady so that he can obtain the mantra. Because that is the only way he can achieve liberation. Now there lived in that kingdom a king, and he wished to know who is the most sacred and pious person in his kingdom was. And the king was advised by someone that he should invite all the citizens for a feast to his palace. When the most pious soul begins to partake of the food, the temple bells would ring automatically. So the king follows this advice and he calls for a feast, but the temple bells do not ring. And at the fag end of the day, as all were leaving the palace and the king was lamenting over his misfortune, there is not even one pious person. Who is that most pious soul? As he was crying and feeling sad about the state of affairs in his kingdom, suddenly the bells ring automatically, and the guards then find this young man eating from the leftovers of the feast outside the palace. They bring this young man most respectfully to the king's presence, and then the king learns the entire story of this young man's perseverance and patience. He had become very frail, but he was still firm. He was still a firm young man. And now the king gets a brilliant idea to help out this young man. He gets excited like a child. And as per the king's idea, the king invites a lady dancer to the palace for a performance. And at the end of the show, he claps in applause for her performance. And he orders for big gold earrings for the dancer. And the moment the lady dancer sees this big gold earring, she removes those leaf made earrings. She throws them to the ground. And the young man immediately picks up those earrings, which are the mantra earrings, the most, his life's most cherished object. And now the young man, with a lot of anticipation and trepidation and excitement, opens the leaf to find the mantra. And Swami says, as the young man began to read the mantra, instantly he got liberation. He did not even have to chant the mantra even once, because he had become ripe for that final leap from bondage to freedom. And then Swami in the discourse asked, you may wonder why he had to wait for 24 years. And Swami said it was because so many events had to happen before that. The boy had to work out his past karma. The lady dancer had to be served. And the king and the kingdom had to know of the boy's greatness. God always waits for the right moment and then accomplishes many tasks at once. Interestingly, in this story, the boys had introduced the word Mahasamadhi when they were talking about the guru leaving the mortal coil. And they showed liberation of the young boy as Krishna appearing and embracing the young man. So this was the plot, and this was staged in front of Bhagwan. On 23rd March 2011, the boys finally got an opportunity to show that card to Swami. And most amazingly, Swami asked, is there a drama? And that was very interesting, because the gratitude programs were always song and little speeches. But here Swami was asking for a drama. And when the boys explained the drama that they were going to stage, Swami said, drama cheyali. Yes, you should do the drama, Swami said. And boys came prepared for the drama the next day. Swami did not come out, however. 1 day passed, 2 days passed, Swami did not come out. Little did the boys realize that the Lord had already started that drama. In fact, the Lord had become an actor in that drama when he said, yes, this is the drama that you should do. One thing is clear from the story. Whether it was serving in Swami's physical proximity then or whether it is later, our goal should remain the same. One should not worry about what he is going to do and when. Rather, we have to think about what we are supposed to do. We should not worry about what is going to happen. We should think about how we can make things happen by His grace. Because what has to happen will happen. The path may be hazy, but our thoughts should remain centered on Him and ever busy. Circumstances may appear different, but we should not become indifferent, because He is still and He is forever here. Though not so clear, He is very near. We have to persevere and remove all fear. Many times we feel we are waiting for Him, but the eternal truth is that He is waiting for us. While man waits for God to come, God waits for man to become. So that is the beautiful way Bhagwan communicated to the students what he expected, and through the students to all of us, that drama could not be actually staged, but the drama was staged in the hearts of all those students. That drama, Swami said, this drama should be done. This steadfastness is necessary. This perseverance is a must. And that is what Swami is telling here also. In fact, in 6 days from now, we will be observing the Aradhana Day, April 24th, 2019. This is a moment for us to think, are we able to continue on this path, listening to the inner dialogue within, listening to what Bhagwan is continuously trying to tell us? Are we connected with the Master and listening to His message? Are we making our lives His message? That is what we have to ask. That is what we have to offer on this Aradhana Day that is coming. A day of intense reflection. A day which can mark a new chapter of dedication, new chapter of intense communion with Bhagwan once we quieten ourselves and begin this contemplation. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us utilize these very, very precious days for quietening ourselves and listening to the message within. If you have had any such moments of when you practiced a particular discipline with intensity, with steadfastness, and saw how Bhagwan guided, how Bhagwan rewarded, how Bhagwan encouraged, please feel free to share those anecdotes with us, because it is in this sharing that we help each other fill with inspiration and courage to walk on this path. I know so many of us do so many little sadhanas as our offering to Bhagwan. So if you have had those tales when you listened to your inner Swami and walked on a particular path with determination, there are some times when we falter, and in those moments we have to alter our discipline, we have to heighten our intensity. Once we do that, then Bhagwan comes to us in a way we can recognize. Bhagwan's voice becomes more audible to us. If you have those moments of internal conversation and internal progression on the spiritual path, please feel free to share. Let's together walk on this path of clarifying our doubts, listening to Swami, and marching happily, joyously on this path of becoming one with Him. Thank you so much. So please feel free to join in this discussion. We had Sister Prashanti from Indiana. We had Sister Suchismita from Virginia contributing. Let us together participate in the satsang of understanding these vahinis. As always, you can send your emails to listener@radiosai.org, or you can send your messages on our WhatsApp number 9393258258. Once again, 9393258258. If you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to my email ID bishu@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us through this lovely journey of understanding His glory through His passages. Sai Ram.